Thanks for listening to the Best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for The Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to The Best of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
All right, let's get into it. We got a big game coming up tonight.
And tonight, before we get there, Thursday Night Football, the Saints are going to kick some ass. So, Chris Broussard, let us first start by kicking some ass. How's that?
That was the worst yet.
All right, good. But the Saints are kicking ass tonight.
So, I think Dallas is winning that division.
I think the Eagles are going to win the division.
Yeah. You holding on to your prediction.
They're not out of it.
They're just bad. All right? That's all. They're not mathematically out of it.
Cowboys are going to win three in a row. Tonight, they'll lose by more.
Of course they will because they're playing the best team in the league.
No, because they're not good. You could upset the best team in the league.
How you going to sit here and talk about the Eagles like they're something special
then
rip on the Cowboys?
Cowboys are terrible. They're frauds.
How are they terrible? They beat the Eagles. How are they terrible? What does that say about your team?
Eagles aren't my team. I don't have a team. I'm a reporter.
Well, then how in the world can you be thinking that they're defending them? What's to defend?
They won the Super Bowl. The Cowboys have 3 playoff wins in the last since 1995.
We're not talking about history.
Yes,
we're talking about right now.
We're talking about everything that's involved.
We're talking about right now.
Right now, the Cowboys, they won a couple of games.
Are better than the Eagles.
And they're not going to win tonight. We know that. They'll get their butts kicked tonight.
So what is that?
It's a measuring stick. It'll be great to see.
So you just think they're a bad team?
I don't think they're that good. Their defense is good.
They're not that good, but the division isn't that good. They're the best team in that weak division. That's what they are. They've proven it. They beating the Redskins. They beating the Eagles.
They're 6-5, Chris. My God. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying they're great. I'm saying they're better than the Eagles.
But that doesn't mean –
And I'm saying they're better than the Redskins.
What are they, one game better than the Eagles and one game better?
That's all it takes,
They're not better. I'm sorry. I still don't believe that they're better.
They just beat them.
It doesn't matter. I still
so what? Okay, so
just because you win doesn't mean – just because you win a game don't mean you said this. Wait a minute. Here's the same guy who said that – LeBron and them don't have to have the second best record in the Western Conference, but they could be the second best team.
Without the record.
No.
Different sports.
You just said that a couple weeks ago.
There's no difference between basketball and football?
No, but I'm talking about a record doesn't matter. A record doesn't matter.
When we're talking about two teams.
No.
And one team has a better record,
that
number one.
That doesn't mean that they're better.
I agree. But they also beat them.
It don't matter.
They have a better record and they beat them head to head. What else do you want?
But they're only up
is
one game.
Is it a beauty contest?
No.
What in the world are we judging them on if it's not record and head to head matchups?
But I can still look at a team and think that they're better even if they lost games. That's what I'm trying to say to you.
I don't care. Your eye test is not objective. We have a few objective things.
I don't need glasses.
Record
I could see.
And head to head matchups. Record ahead matchup.
No, that ain't all.
What else is there?
The eye test.
How cute the quarterback is? What?
No.
Eye test?
Yes, I still think the Eagles are better than the Cowboys.
Why?
I do.
Why?
Give me some evidence. Carson Wentz is better than Dak Prescott.
That's one position.
No, but that's a big position in the NFL. This is a quarterback league.
If Carson Wentz is so good, why they been losing all the time?
They've been struggling, that's all, but he can get it together.
Good.
He can get it together.
Look,
watch and see.
Oh, potentially. If you want to talk potential,
I'm telling you,
yeah,
the Eagles are better than the Cowboys.
But the team is not better.
Carson Wentz. Wentz in a lifetime.
All right, so look.
Carson Wentz is better than Dak Prescott. If I had to win a game right now.
That's the question,
yes, that's why they're better than the Cowboys.
Just because they got a better quarterback.
Absolutely.
Okay, Aaron Rodgers is better than Dak Prescott. Who's better, Green Bay or Dallas?
Green Bay's better than Dallas.
Aaron Rodgers is better than We could argue he's better than every quarterback in the NFC and the AFC. Why are they 4-6-1? Radio silence.
Other stuff
that's
happening.
Let's go to the callers. Is that what you want to say?
I didn't say that.
What? I mean, don't just give me the quarterback. That's not the argument.
I'm telling you that team is better than Dallas.
You got no proof, man. Come on. You're fishing.
I'm not fishing.
You are fishing. Let me get to this. You just sidetracked me.
Just
with
go ahead.
Talk about the Eagles. Tonight's game, what does it mean? If Dallas is ransacked, as you predict, what does that mean about the Cowboys? Just frauds, to use your favorite word?
They are what we thought they were. A team
Most
that's
people
not
think
that good,
they're going to make the playoffs
and they're not
going to
make the playoffs.
They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook.
I could easily see this team not winning the games down the stretch, falling back into who they are. Of course, when you have a running back who's running for 100 yards the last three games, that has helped Dak Prescott. But I've seen this team earlier this year. I don't believe in them.
Amari Cooper has made a huge difference.
Let me tell you, running the ball and getting a 100-yard rusher three weeks
in a row.
Yeah, but
why are they running the ball? So why weren't they running the ball that well earlier?
I'm just telling
you. They now have a receiver who is a threat.
He was running the ball
before
Amari.
That makes the defense keeps him honest.
I understand
that. He wasn't running like this.
But I'm just telling you, that's the reason why. And we'll wait and see.
And look,
I'm not into the Cowboys.
The Dallas Cowboys and say they're some great team. All I'm saying is they are the best team in that horrid, horrible, terrible division. That's all I'm saying. That's it. And you want to bring up the Eagles like they're some world beaters?
They won the Super Bowl
nine months
ago.
That's history, dude. Yeah, and Jacksonville almost got there. Where they at? Huh?
Routes.
You're not giving New England any props for being in the Super Bowl
last
year. But they were there.
They lost.
You said in week two they were done.
It was week
three. Do we have a microwave take on that?
It was week three.
We didn't even get to tonight's game. Because you're running off at the mouth about the Eagles.
I'm just putting you in your place.
Really?
Yes. That's what I had to do.
Okay, let me give my take on tonight's game. The Dallas Cowboys will lose. If they win, then I think you really have to start taking them seriously. But they will lose. What I'm looking for from Dallas to make me think, okay, they're legit, is a close game. Keep it close. Make it a good game, and then I'll believe in you. If they get crushed, as you say, still doesn't mean they're not going to win their terrible division, but I won't take them seriously.
This is going to be Ohio State, Michigan, part two. I'm expecting tonight.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
There was a really interesting story on SB Nation by, I believe, Tim Struby, who's a former colleague of mine at ESPN The Magazine. And it was about women coaching in male sports, pro football, pro basketball, so on and so forth. And he had a quote from an anonymous NBA coach that essentially said you can't have really good-looking female coaches in the NBA because it would be crazy. Here's the full quote. You can't have a hot woman in the NBA. Guys will be trying to sleep with her. He didn't use that word, but sleep with her every day. By and large, the NBA is an incredibly sexist environment. I listen to players talk about women. I have a daughter, and it's sometimes disturbing. But it's nothing new. It hasn't gotten worse over the years. In our society, there are men uncomfortable working under women, and a handful of our players would have a problem with that. What I say to that, Rob, is it obviously doesn't sound good on the surface. And I actually don't agree with the last part where he said a lot of the players in the NBA would have a problem working under women, because the players in the NBA were overwhelmingly in support of hiring Michelle Roberts to run as the executive director of the Players Association.
Well, but so, she wasn't cute, I guess. Is that why they hired her?
I'm not saying all that.
No, but I'm just saying, according to
but I do agree with, and I don't agree that you can't have a good-looking woman coach, but I do agree with him that it would be very, very complex. This is the ugly truth. If you had a really great-looking female coach, whether she was an assistant or head coach, guys would be hitting on her left and right. Guys would be in film session in the locker room, distracted, thinking all sorts of things for her. And look,
I'm not buying any of this.
So that guys wouldn't be doing that?
I just think it's sexist.
When you say you're not buying it, is that? I know it's sexist, but it's true.
Okay, is that not true? No, I don't believe that.
Give me your opinion.
I believe in a professional when you work. in a professional environment, and I hear it. Yes, do men hit on women? I get all that. But this thing, well, you got to hire an ugly woman coach, and then they wouldn't try to hit on her. So that's the woman who has to get the job as a basketball coach. She has to be ugly, and then guys wouldn't hit on her. Out of respect, I just don't buy into that. We see beautiful women every day. They work, and they interview athletes every day.
They're not in the locker room. They're not with the players nearly as much as a head coach.
But there's still pretty women out there, and it depends on how you handle yourself.
And there's two.
It doesn't mean.
Rob, you've been around journalism long enough. Are guys hitting on him?
That's not, but I'm not saying whether or not guys
are
hitting
on him. That's what the guy said. That's what the coach said.
But he said you can't have a pretty woman. I don't agree with that.
That you couldn't have her as
I'm
a coach.
Not buying that.
But I'm saying it would be very complicated. Guys would be hitting on her. Guys would be distracted.
I just.
And it would call. And.
I think it's such a cop out. If you're a professional and you signed to do a job, that's why it's better not to mix work and your desires. That's why a lot of guys, people get in trouble. Not only at basketball teams, everywhere. TV networks, newspapers, everywhere, because people do stuff that they're not supposed to do. And they put themselves in harm's way, and people lose jobs and situations. All I'm saying, Chris, is yes, will guys want to hit on beautiful women? Yes, but it has nothing to do with just being in the NBA. It could be any walk of life or any other job. I'm just saying, to put that out there that a pretty woman can't get a job as an NBA head coach because she has to be homely so the players won't look at her a certain way, I'm just not buying that. That's just me.
You're denying reality.
Yep, okay, then I'm not saying
that the league shouldn't hire a good-looking female coach, but I am saying this dude is right about players hitting on her all the time. And you're right. There are reporters, female reporters, who are in locker rooms, and that's fine. And there are female, you know, public relations people. And you're right. And sometimes players do, hit on them a lot. And sometimes the women go for it. And I'm saying
women don't go for it. They're there to do a job.
A lot of times they don't, but sometimes they do. And if you bring in a female coach, then this would be a complicated situation. All I'm saying.
Hey, Deb, can you turn your mic on? Is Deb on?
Yep, I've been listening to this conversation.
Yeah, I just want to get your take. And the only thing I'm not saying
you can't hire a good-looking female coach. I'm saying he's right about players being distracted and hitting on her all the
time. And here's the thing. They would, but as soon as she laid down the law initially and said, listen, I'm not interested in any
Thank
of you.
You.
I'm here to do a job. It is harder. It is harder for a good-looking woman to be taken seriously, I think especially as a coach. It was for a long time for women reporters because everybody presumed you were there for, you know, to hook up with somebody.
Exactly. But, Deb,
Rob, that's all that the coach was saying.
But, Deb, you know this. It's the way you carry yourself. And if you let people know you're there for business, I'm talking about women.
Yes.
Guys will get the message. I'm not here for that.
Yes.
I got a job to do, and that's what I'm saying, is if a woman is serious about her craft and she's a basketball coach, because it happens all the time. There are coaches, guys coach women in college all the time, and not all the guys are sleeping with the basketball team. And the same thing, there's a lot of women who coach high school basketball teams. All I'm saying is, yes, Chris, he's right that guys are going to make a play at a pretty woman, but don't tell me that a woman can't do the job because she's pretty and the other guys won't allow her to do a job.
And I think, by the way, she can do the job. I think, again, it's going to be hard. It is harder, I think, for a good-looking woman for those exact reasons. I think she's capable, obviously. Or, you know, I don't know if we're talking about somebody specific here.
No.
But I think, again, if she makes it known, I'm here to work. I'm here to do a job. I have an opportunity that nobody's ever had before.
Right.
And that's how it's been in journalism. And by the way, you know, this happens in industries all, you know, across the world too. This is it's just novel to have women working in this capacity that you're talking about. At IBM, I'm sure it was a big deal when the first women started working there too. And there were a lot of people who, you know, people presumed, oh, she wants an opportunity and she's going to sleep her way up. And as you said, some may have, but most were there to do a job and to put bread on their family's table.
I think Deb stated that really well.
Thank you, Deb. We needed you tonight.
Thank you.
And that's all I was saying. All I'm saying, this dude is being honest. And I disagree that you can't have a good-looking coach.
Okay.
But it's going to be complicated. You know players as well as me.
I know.
That's all I'm saying.
I'm not.
And you're right. It happens in any workplace.
It happens in...
But there's also two sides to it.
No,
Women aren't always innocent either.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
We were talking about the Lakers and LeBron James and... Magic Johnson, of course, came out on Sirius XM radio today and denied that LeBron is waving off play calls or ignoring play calls from Luke Walton. There was a report about that that came out recently. And Magic said a lot of things on Sirius XM radio, and one of them being that he doesn't want the Los Angeles Lakers under LeBron James to become like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Wow.
Under LeBron James.
Ouch.
Here's the Magic Man.
When you have two point guards like Ball and Rondo, we don't have to have LeBron using the ball or having the ball in his hands all the time. And so you're right. We're trying to make sure that we watch his minutes, but also that we don't run everything through him, because now it is Cleveland all over again, and we don't want that.
What do you think? Cleveland all over again. I mean, they did win a championship. You know, they did get to the finals four straight years. Like,
yeah,
it wasn't the worst thing in the world.
But the last 2 years, the finals haven't been competitive, and maybe that's why he looks at the Cleveland thing the last 2 years, Chris. Is that maybe what he's thinking? Do you know what I mean?
I get where Magic's coming from, because I myself have said I would like to see LeBron play off the ball.
You thought that's what he was going to do this year, right?
But he can't change. I don't know if he can change his game at this point. He's in his 16th year. The Lakers actually play fairly well when he's on the ball. I know he's not going to be on the ball all the time, but when you watch LeBron off the ball, unless he fully commits to it, he's not the same off the ball because he's not used to doing it. Yeah, sometimes he's at the elbow. Sometimes he's in the post. But there are a lot of times he's just kind of standing on the wing watching when he's off the ball. If I could get LeBron in a system off the ball where he was really effective and the players around him were effective, of course I'd do that. But I just don't know if that is going to work now. That's all I'm saying. It's worth trying. This is a year of experimentation, right? This is a year to see what works. So I'm fine with them trying it, but I don't know if it's going to work. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I mean, the best way might be to bring in shooters and surround LeBron James with the shooters.
Because why go away from what it is?
To some degree.
Right, to some degree. Maybe you haven't been able to get the results in the finals. But, yeah, I guess it's kind of weird. I think the last couple of years in Cleveland, despite them getting there, they just realized that they really weren't a match in the finals. And I think that's what he was really talking about. And I do understand that he has two point guards, right? Supposed to be the point guard of the future, and one guy who's playoff tested and won a championship. So I get that you don't want those guys just standing around if LeBron's holding the ball. Those guys aren't the guys you're going to pass
to,
right?
Yeah. Lonzo has shown that he can hit three-pointers, at least thus far. Rondo, that's not his game. Even though he's hit a few, that's not his game. And look, I'm sure this is what Magic and LeBron talked about when they met, you know, on the night in July where, you know, Magic convinced him, or, you know, LeBron, I'm sure, had already made up his mind. But, you know, when they talked in free agency. So I think LeBron is with that. And I'm sure LeBron doesn't want it to be Cleveland again, right? He doesn't want to go 1-3 in the finals. So he's tired of the results that they had in Cleveland, too. I just don't know if he can do it. That's what I'm saying.
Well,
I think, a lot of times your greatest strength, and I know he didn't originate this quote, but the first guy I heard say it was Jeff Van Gundy. When I used to cover the Knicks, he was a coach. And he said, with a lot of players, or just in life in general, people in general, sometimes your greatest strength can also be your greatest weakness. And I think one of LeBron James's greatest strengths, he's so versatile, he can do pretty much everything on the basketball court, and that he can be a system unto himself. And that's what allows him to go to virtually any team, no matter how bad his supporting cast may be, and make them a really good team. But a one-man system, no matter how good that guy is, it's not going to, not with consistency, beat good five-man teams that are skilled, that move the basketball, and that can shoot. And you've seen San Antonio has always given him problems.
Yep.
And the Warriors have always given him problems.
That's a good way of looking at it. And despite what he can do and the numbers he's put up in those finals, you're still not close to winning anything.
Not even
close. He averaged a triple-double and lost in five games, right?
Yep.
And last year was a sweep,
yep.
Right? And putting up huge numbers that most teams with their star player playing at that caliber would have a shot to win, if not win.
Right, right. And that's the challenge. So now I guess the challenge for LeBron and Magic is, okay, can LeBron play differently? Like Magic's saying, we don't want to be Cleveland. We don't want him on the ball. We don't want to run everything through him. Okay, does LeBron buy into that? And can he play differently? Because a lot of times, Rob, your game, especially your 16th year in the freaking league,
right?
Your game is your game.
Yeah, and you're not trying to change anything.
And even if you are trying to change it, can you?
Yeah, that'd be
like even if Melo said, you know what? All right, y'all want me to be a catch and shoot guy. Y'all want me to be a 3-and-D guy or whatever. Can he really be differently? I mean, how hard would it be for him to get the ball and not hold it? Not measure you up. Not
that's
what he's done for his whole career and been successful at it.
No, you're right. I think it is it's one of those things where really you probably should have looked at a team to actually mirror what LeBron's done, but try to get players who were better than the ones that they had in Cleveland.
Right.
How about that? You know what I mean, Chris? Saying we got LeBron, we know what works with him, we know what system works with him. But how about we just try to upgrade those positions or get some guys who are better skilled at the three-point shooting and maybe have a little dog in them or a little, you know, get after it a little bit more than the guys that he had, and maybe that's the formula.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Than trying to do something totally different.
Yeah, do you think that, you know, there's reports, Bradley Beal, John Wall, basically the whole team for the Washington Wizards is available. John Wall is going to be very difficult to trade because of his contract.
Dude, who's going to pay that guy $40 million? Like through the last 3 years of his contract?
As great as he is individually, he's not leading the victories, and you got to pay him all that money.
And he
gets hurt sometimes, too.
And he also, there's just stuff that goes on and stuff that he says where you just wonder, you know what I mean? Like, is he really trying to win? Like, I don't know. He rubs me the wrong way. It's just from a competitive standpoint.
So I think they would rather trade John Wall, but Bradley Beal is the guy most people think they'll have to end up trading because
that's
the
one you'll be able to get something for.
Do you think the Lakers should go for John Wall?
No, because John Wall?
No, I'm sorry. Bradley Beal.
It depends on what your game plan is, right? Because are you waiting till next year to get one of those guys? If you take on Beal, then that's your move for next year, isn't it?
Well, the way you could still, if you traded enough salary away to make it work financially, you could still sign a free agent in the summer. What it would do, though, is the guys it would take to get Beal are the same guys you would use to get Anthony Davis.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So I would wait.
So that's why I'm saying if that's your move, and then you got to hope that you can sign somebody else. I don't know if he's the answer and you're going to win something this year. Do you know what I mean? So then that's your move, and now what? This summer.
Yep, I'm with you. If I really think, and look, let's just be honest, the Lakers know what's going on with Anthony Davis. His agent is LeBron's agent, and he signed with Rich Paul for a reason. So they're going to know whether or not they have a real chance at getting Anthony Davis. And they do. I believe they do. And everything I'm being told is that they do have a real chance. I'm not saying it's guaranteed 100%. But if you think that you have that chance, I think you have to wait. Because even if you get Bradley Beal, as good as he is, and he's a perennial all-star, is he lifting you this year?
That's what I'm saying.
No.
I don't look at it that way. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I think the quick fix for right now would be, get Beal.
Right.
Right? But then you'd be like, well, we're not going to win this year, and now what about next year?